One thing I've got to say this morning is that I would ask for your prayers this coming week. Last November, I think it was, I led a cycling and walking weekend at Otford Manor. Well, I'm doing the same this coming weekend. When I say I'm leading the weekend, I'm speaking to the folk that will be attending. So I'll be giving a short talk on Thursday evening, and then a longer talk on Friday evening, and a talk of similar length on Saturday evening. Though I won't this time be speaking on the Sunday morning. Oak Hall are going to take the group to a local church on the Sunday morning so that I can be back here with you. But we're actually going to be looking at people who walked with God. You may have heard me give one or two talks before on people walking with God. But I would value your prayers as I prepare for that. Let's have our Bibles open, shall we? Ready to read from 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. 1 Corinthians and chapter 9, just a few verses to read together. I know we've looked at these verses before, but I want us to look at them again from a slightly different angle. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting to read from verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these words of Scripture that we are able to freely read and study together this evening. And Lord, we want to hear from you. That is our desire as we meet together week by week. Oh Lord, may we hear your voice speaking to us through your word clearly and powerfully this evening. Do us good. Challenge us. Inspire us. Hear our prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's warmed up once again today, and you may be feeling a little warm. And therefore, I wonder whether you feel like running a marathon. Probably not. But this evening we're going to be thinking about running. I don't know whether you feel like stepping into the boxing ring and fighting a formidable opponent. Probably not. But tonight we're going to be thinking about boxing. Last time we were looking at 1 Corinthians. We focused on these verses, but we were thinking particularly about the prize of heaven and the crown of righteousness that is awarded to all those who finish the race. And when we looked at those verses, we emphasized how that we do not earn our salvation. We do not earn heaven by our running or by our good works. We noted, once again, though we've noted this many, many times before, that salvation is the gift of God, which we receive through simple faith in Jesus Christ. However, we also said that it's by running the Christian race and by fighting the good fight of faith that we give evidence that God has saved us and continues to be at work within us. Well, as I say, tonight we're going to be thinking about how we should run and how we should fight. So, how? Well, there are three headings. And the first heading is "With All Our Might." We should seek to run the Christian race with all our might. Is this what I'm doing? Is this what you're doing? I remember running long distance races when I was at school, and how that everybody in the class ran off at 100 miles an hour whenever the teacher said, "Right then, off you go." But it wasn't long before many of the runners began to slow down. Some began to walk. Some began to devise ways in which they could cut corners and get back into the warmth of the changing rooms as quickly as possible. And maybe we can look back to the time when we were converted and how we ran the race with great enthusiasm. But it's possible, isn't it, for that enthusiasm to wane. And so I ask the question tonight, how are we running now? Not how were we running however many years ago it was that we were converted, but how are you and I running in the here and now? We said last time that the Corinthians knew all about running races. In Greece, the Olympic Games were held every 4 years. The Isthmian Games, I can never say that. I'm going to try and say it one more time, and if I get it wrong, I'm just going to carry on. The Isthmian Games were held every year. And thousands of spectators went along in order to watch. Now, how did the athletes or the competitors run? Well, the answer is with all their might. They wanted to run well and cross the finishing line first in order that they might obtain the victor's crown or the victor's wreath and the accolade that went with it. And it's exactly the same, isn't it? Today, runners use every muscle and fiber of their being in order to be first over the line. And sometimes we see athletes running so hard that when they cross over the line, they simply collapse on the floor, exhausted. Now, as in the case of so many illustrations, I think even Paul's illustration falls down at certain points. You see, in the Christian race, all the competitors that cross the finishing line obtain the prize. And not just the first person that crosses the finishing line. Moreover, in the Christian race, we are not competing against one another. On the contrary, we're doing what we can, or at least I hope we are, to assist one another, to encourage one another, to exhort one another in running the Christian race. I don't know whether you remember some time ago, the Brownlee brothers were running a race, and the events of this race appeared on the news. It was a very hot day, and the youngest Brownlee brother was struggling, and there was some doubt as to whether he was going to cross the finishing line. Well, his older brother, who is actually a better runner, just happened to be behind him on this particular occasion. But when he saw his brother struggling, he went to him and he took his arm and put it around his neck. The other arm he put around his waist, and together they crossed the line. He helped his younger brother reach the finishing line. Now, I know there was some debate as to whether the younger brother should have been disqualified, but there is no disqualification for assisting and encouraging one another in the Christian race. In fact, we run a better race by endeavouring to do just that. So there are, we might say, weaknesses in Paul's illustration. Perhaps I can just read verse 24. I should have read it a moment or two ago before I carry on. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." despite Paul's weaknesses in his illustration, it's still a good illustration. Because the main point of the illustration is surely crystal clear. We must run with all our might and not give up, which of course is something that is emphasized throughout the whole of the New Testament. Let me read to you from Galatians 6. I'll then read from Philippians 3. But firstly, Galatians chapter 6. Now, the metaphors are different in Galatians 6. And there is the possibility, I suppose, of causing confusion at this point. But that is certainly not my aim. And I think you will agree as you listen to me read these verses that the same point is basically being made. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And then Philippians 3, 10 to 12. I want to know Christ. This is Paul basically giving his testimony to the church in Philippi. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. In other words, Paul is saying here that he wants to know Jesus more and he wants to become like Jesus more. Indeed, he wants to be like Jesus in every conceivable way. He wants to be holy. He wants to be perfect. He wants to run a really, really good race. Though he goes on to say, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. We are not to run the Christian race in a lazy, sluggish, idle, unconcerned manner, but with all our might. Although do we run with all our might? Well, in one sense we do. But it's really the might of the Holy Spirit that we must run in. You see, we cannot run in our own strength. We need the Spirit's power. What does Paul write in Colossians 1? He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Well, if there's one thing that I would encourage us all to pray for this evening, it is this, that one, God would grant us the will, the determination, to want to run well. And two, that God would grant us his Holy Spirit in order that we may run well, that we may run with perseverance. So firstly, we must run with all our might. But secondly this evening, and here we're looking at verse 25, we must run with self-control. Verse 25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So we ask ourselves this evening, are we running with self-control? Now the NIV, as you will see, uses the word strict training to translate the Greek. But lots of other English translations, in fact most English translations, as far as I can tell, use the word self-control. And I must admit, having done a little bit of work on this, I prefer to use the word self-control. Because the Greek conveys the idea of learning, working hard in order to exercise self-control. So I'm going to run with self-control rather than the words strict training. Now every athlete, as I'm sure you will appreciate, needs to learn self-control. That is, he needs to learn to abstain from certain things that will hinder him in his running. For example, cream cakes, donuts, alcohol, late night parties, lying in bed when it's time to go jogging, and so on and so forth. And, well, it's not easy, is it, to say no to some of these things? They are so tempting. But the athlete must learn to say no to these things if he is going to run well. Well, as Christians, we need to learn to say no to things that will hinder us in our Christian race. We need to say no to temptations that come from within and from without. You see, if we give in to temptation and continue in sin apart from repentance, we will dampen our zeal for God and our passion for holiness. You see, we cannot run well whilst weighed down by sins of one kind or another. I don't know whether I really need to try to impress this upon you. I think it's fairly obvious. It's very difficult for a Christian to run well whilst holding on to bitterness. It's very difficult for a Christian to run well whilst persisting in some kind of immorality. We need to learn to say no. And in addition to that, I would argue that we need to do what we possibly can to avoid situations where we will put ourselves in the way of temptation. We need to learn to say no. But we also need to learn to say yes to certain things. There is a flip side to this. There are certain things that the athlete needs to say yes to. He needs to say yes to eating nutritious food, having early nights, working hard in the gym, listening to his coach. And there are things that we need to say yes to in order to run the Christian race well. We need to say yes to Bible reading, to prayer, to meeting with other Christians, to thinking upon those things which are pure and lovely. Now, we've already emphasized this evening our need of the Holy Spirit to run well. And at this point, we would do well to remind ourselves that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. But as we think of the Holy Spirit and our need of the Holy Spirit, let us be careful that we do not take the stance whereby we say to ourselves, well, let us let go and let God. Let's leave it all up to the Holy Spirit to do his work within our lives. We still have to work hard and discipline ourselves to do what is right. So often Christians want an easy fix, but there isn't an easy fix. Let's once again listen to what Paul says in Colossians 1. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in. Yes, God will work in us by his Holy Spirit. He will give us the strength. He will give us the energy. But that doesn't take away the fact that we have to contend, fight, work hard, make an effort. Thirdly, this evening, how must we run? How must we fight? With real intent. With real intent. And here we're looking at verses 26 and 27. Again, let me ask the question, are we running and fighting with real intent, that is, with real purpose? Sometimes Joanne and I will take the dog out for a walk in the park. And we like to let the dog off the lead if we possibly can. And so we sit her down and we take her off the lead and we invite her to go for a run. And the moment she knows that she is free to run wherever she wants to, she does so. And she runs excitedly in all sorts of directions, this way and that way, without really aiming at anything in particular. She just runs aimlessly for about 30 seconds before she calms down and decides exactly what it is that she wants to do or that she wants to sniff. Well, Paul says here that he doesn't run the Christian race aimlessly. On the contrary, he runs the race with intent or with purpose. His eye is fixed upon the goal and he strains towards it. That the goal of Christ's likeness and heaven. In his epistle to the church at Philippi, he puts it like this. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Therefore, he says in verse 26, I do not run like a man aimlessly. I know what God's word says. I know what God's will is for my life. And I am running toward that goal. But you'll notice if you look at verse 26 that he seems quite keen to move on from the running analogy to the boxing analogy. So we will endeavour to do the same. Now, I know that there are Christians that struggle with the idea of boxing being a sport. Yet, of course, we have to acknowledge the fact that boxing as a sport has been around for many, many years, so long, in fact, that the Apostle Paul was able to use it as an analogy. How does Paul fight the good fight of faith? Well, again, with real intent. He doesn't box aimlessly. He's not simply hitting the air with his boxing gloves or with his fist. There would have been no boxing gloves, I suppose, in the days in which he lived. No, he boxed with purpose. He boxed with every intention of hitting what he intended to hit. He boxed with every intention of making the knockout punch. The question is, who did Paul fight? Well, the answer is given in verse 27. Himself. Look at what he says. I beat my body. Now, of course, this may sound a little bit strange. And we must appreciate the fact that Paul wasn't talking about hitting his body in a literal way. He was not some sort of masochist. He was talking about fighting the sinful nature of. He's speaking in a similar way to the way that Jesus spoke in Matthew 5. You'll recognize the words as soon as I start reading. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. Of course, we've said many times before that one doesn't stop lusting just because one cuts one's eye out. The problem is essentially one of the heart. One doesn't necessarily stop stealing things by cutting one's hand off. No, the problem is essentially one of the heart. But we get the point that Jesus is making. Sin is serious, and we must go to war on sin. We must put to death the misdeeds of the body. Well, Paul is purposeful. He's intentional in putting to death the sinful nature. We find ourselves in a battle, don't we, as Christians, every single day. Every single day we find ourselves in a position whereby we have to look to God in order to fight against our sinful impulses. Some of the temptations I faced when I was younger, I don't really face anymore, but now that I'm in my 40s, I find myself facing a whole new set of temptations. And perhaps some of you who are a little bit older than me will tell me afterwards that there are yet a further set of temptations that you face once you get to a retirement sort of age. Paul battled against the flesh up until the day he died. Listen to what he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The Apostle Paul went to war against the flesh, or what we sometimes refer to as the sinful nature. He had a body just as you and I have a body, and he lived constantly endeavouring to make his body his slave. In other words, a body that did what it was told to do. You know, we have all kinds of sinful impulses, don't we? We experience all kinds of temptations, and it's so easy just to let the body do what it desires. It's easy. But Paul endeavoured to make his body a slave. He recognised, you see, that his body ultimately belonged to the Lord Jesus. And it was to be used as an instrument of righteousness. It was to be used how the Lord determined that it should be. Now that's not easy, is it? Therefore we have to fight daily in order to make our bodies our slave. Friends, we must run and box with all our might, with self-control and real intent, inspired and enabled by the Holy Spirit. This is how God wants us to run. By God's grace, this is how we will endeavour to run, isn't it? Not only tomorrow, but throughout this coming week. But I must finish this evening with the gospel. I think every sermon ought to finish with the gospel. You see, we can hear a sermon like I've preached tonight, and there is always the danger that we go home feeling a little bit discouraged because we know that we haven't run particularly well. We know that we haven't boxed particularly well. So let us remind ourselves as I finish this evening that Jesus has run a perfect race. That Jesus has fought a perfect fight. He resisted every temptation that the devil put his way. And he has earned a righteousness that is credited to the account of all those who put their trust in him. And that's us, isn't it, this evening? We're clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God looks at us, he sees one who has run a perfect race. He sees one who has fought a perfect fight. Well, we can endeavor to run this week. We can endeavor to fight this week in the knowledge that we are complete, that we are righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. May that be an encouragement. May that be an inspiration as we seek to live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ this coming week and indeed the days beyond. Let's pray, shall we, before we sing our final hymn. Lord God, we want to thank you that you have saved us by your grace and called us to run the Christian race and to fight the good fight of faith. Lord, we want to run well. We want to box well. Oh, please give us the desire, the will to do that day by day, particularly when we become weary and tired. Or the devil seems to throw all kinds of temptation our way. Maybe not grow weary in well-doing. Or maybe know the help of your Holy Spirit to be holy, to do the things that Christ would have us do, to be the people that you would have us be. Lord, we know that we fail you. We know that our run is not often as good as it should be. We know that our fight is not fought as well as it should be. We thank you that because we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of our failures, all of our sins have been forgiven fully and freely. We thank you too that we have been clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look upon us, you see one who has run a perfect race, as well as one who has fought a perfect fight. Oh, what encouragement this gives to us. We thank you that we're able to run our race and fight the good fight of faith without fear of condemnation. Lord, we simply want to run and fight in order to please you and to bring glory and honor to your great name. Hear our prayer. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's stand, shall we, to sing our final hymn. I do know what it is, I just can't remember the first line. Here we go. O church, arise and put your armour on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. Well, we do thank you for our time together this evening. We thank you for your word to us. And we pray.